Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, say what?
Far too fast, let's slow it down.
Okay.
Alright, it's the Melchester Odyssey again, and I have in my left hand the 4th of August 1984 issue of Roy the Rovers, and across the top, oh God... It's guessing game time if you want to play, Sam. It says inside, Scotland and Manchester United star. 1984.
Gordon McKay. I think he might... Gordon McQueen died recently. He died,
didn't he? Father of Hilly McQueen, yeah.
But I don't think... 1984, I think this is a bit past
think,
his
no,
era.
I think he'd have left them by then and or retired.
Arthur Alberston? Was Could he Scottish? Be. Don't know.
He feels like he was.
Feels like he was.
I haven't looked yet. I'm going to guess
and
as well.
It's way before. It's way before. Oh, hang on. I think it might be Strachan.
Strachan, good shout. Ashley Grimes, was he Scottish?
Don't know. No, I think he was Irish.
Let's have a look.
I think he was Irish. I think it's Strachan.
All right, let's have a look. What? It's Alan Brazil.
Alan Brazil, I forgot he fucking played for United.
Yeah, of course, there he is in his Scotland strip.
Wow.
Filling out the shirt very nicely.
No, wait, no. Eh, you numpty. Let's look at the next 5 fixtures.
Oh, God. If you're listening, Bob.
My first ever dealings with TalkSport. When, like, they used to have the boss who first got me in there, like, over 10 years ago. And he was a bit of a character. I won't name him because he remains a friend. But he ran it in its real, like, craziest days, right? and I was supposed to have a meeting with him, and I was really excited. I was supposed to have a meeting with him about coming on board to work on air on TalkSport. And I turned up at the pub he'd arranged to meet me in, and he wasn't there. And I got a call saying that he was, in fact, in a sports bar co-owned by Alan Brazil, like about half an hour away, like quite far, right? And he was clearly inebriated, and he went, come here, get in a taxi, I'll pay for it, right? And I thought, you know, I'm not a man who's particularly conventional, but I found this to be unconventional, Andy. I don't know how you had responded. I actually called a friend of mine who now is no longer with us, but who was a very well-respected radio producer and who'd known this particular exec, TalkSport expert, for only years. And I called him up and I said, to be honest, I don't know whether to be fucked off or not, because this was quite a big meeting that had been in Diary for ages, and he's a no-show, and he's called me up pissed and told me to get in a taxi across London that he'll pay for. I said, I don't know, there's something... Do you know what I mean, Andy? You sort of think, is this a bit of a piss take?
Makes you feel special, I guess.
The guy said, no, it didn't. It made me feel unspecial, but I thought maybe that's just me. And this producer, who's a great guy called Keith, he said to me, Sam, this is what it's like doing business with this guy. This is what it's like doing business with TalkSport. So either get on board or don't, right?
It's rock and roll, really.
He goes, this is it, right? So I go, oh, okay. I thought, at least this is like, seems par for the course. So I got in the cab, got over there. He staggered out and stuck 20 quid in the cabbie's hand, right? And then I go in, and it's him and Brazil. And they are highly refreshed. And they are off the back of a lunch together, in which I was told had been renegotiating or renewing Brazil's contract to do the breakfast show, and the negotiations had obviously gone well for both parties because they had decided to carry on into the afternoon in a sports bar which was co-owned by Brazil. It had strong Tony Soprano vibes, right? Very strong, I'm in the Bada Bing here, right? Yeah. And it there was a mild air of menace and a strong air of mayhem. There was a huge amount of singing by Brazil, who I'd never met before, and who was had the most beautiful cherubic voice. He was singing sort of Irish kind of folk songs, and I thought, this is mad. But obviously, by this stage, I'm like, I quite like this. And in those days, I was drinking, so I thought, well, I'll try.
This is good.
I tried to play a bit of catch up, and. The boss I'm talking about, the exec I'm talking about, he goes off to the toilet. So I find myself talking to Brazil and some other guy who was some kind of racehorse owner. And they were discussing a deal over a horse, right? So I'm there.
As you do.
I'm there. Youngish man trying to make my way in radio. And I find myself in a pub with Alan Brazil, who I'd never met before, speaking to a man about going in on a racehorse consortium. And suddenly, I'm drawn into it as well. He doesn't know me from Adam. And it's kind of drifted towards, are you interested in being in on this deal as well? I probably, you know, fuck knows. I certainly wouldn't. I don't think I've ever had the sort of money in my bank account that would allow me to start investing in bloodstock. I'm not sure. As a vegetarian, I'm comfortable investing in bloodstock, if I'm honest.
I forgot they called it that.
Yeah,
I was eating a black pudding the other day in the Premier Inn breakfast,
and my daughter
said, what is that exactly? I said, it's also known as blood pudding.
Yes,
and she's a vegan. She was put off by that.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I used to like the black pudding. Yeah, so it's like, do I want to? My oldest brother once bought, when he was flying high, he had a small, very small stake in a racehorse. Yeah. You know, where there's like 50 guys who own a bit of it, sort of thing. You've all chucked in a few grand each. But he did get a role in naming it. And do you know what they named it? Horsey. It was a racehorse called Horsey.
That's up there with Borty McBoardface.
Yeah.
So
I'm there, and I'm thinking, fucking hell. It was one of those meetings that I was really... I'd left Heat, and quite soon after leaving, I got a call from this guy saying, you know, are you interested in coming? And so I'd really like, you know, when you like, it's been on your mind for a week in the build up and you're thinking about what you're going to say and you're thinking of your angles and you're thinking, and then it's just not going anything like I expected. Mm. I mean, this, and I'm talking to two drunk men, one of whom is an ex Manchester United and Scotland international, about investing in bloodstock. The executive comes back from the toilet and he stood behind us at the bar and he can't quite insert himself into the animated conversation that is happening. And so he starts to punch. He's a smallish man and Alan Brazil is a large man. And he starts to punch Alan Brazil, who is his key employee, in the side of the body. Like a kidney punch from behind repeatedly. And I notice this, but I don't say anything. You know when there's people who you're with who are quite clearly many drinks ahead of you? So you think these people are operating by different... They're living on a different planet to me right now.
Different rule book.
And it's not my business to interfere. If I apply my moral code or my sense of right and wrong, my three-pint sense of right and wrong with their 20-pint sense of right and wrong, two worlds will collide and it just won't work.
Flew out the window 4 hours ago.
I'm operating on a moral code that they were operating on at around 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's now 5, right? So I thought, I'll ignore these punches. Brazil, because he's a well-padded man, I swear to God, he hadn't... To me, they looked and sounded like hard punches, but he wasn't flinching. He was carrying on talking, right? And I thought, I won't say anything. And in the end, very casually, he said to me, bear in mind, he's only met me 10 minutes ago, he said, and by the way, you can tell him behind me there that I know what he's doing. And if he punches me once more in the kidney, I'm going to rip his head off. And I was like, so I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know either of you that well. I don't know. I don't want to be caught in this. Do you know what I mean? It's like when a couple are arguing and they start, and you're not even that familiar with the couple, and they start like drawing you in as some sort of mediator into their row. So, it, you know, it was a very strange afternoon. They were both lovely guys. I've worked with Al in Brazil many times after that, and he never remembered who I was or anything to do with that incident. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think he's a great guy. And the executive as well. He got me in there, and I had like 10 years of good work there, really. But that's how it started, and that's my abiding memory of Alan Brazil.
Fucking hell. There you go.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. So that's the first bit inside Scotland and Manchester United stuff. Yeah, I'd completely forgotten he played for Manchester United.
I remember him playing. I mean, Ipswich is the club you associate
Ipswich
with him most.
And Spurs.
Spurs, yeah. Yeah.
I'm just wondering how often he played for Manchester United. I guess it wasn't that many times. Let's have a quick look on the old Wikipedia here. Live search. 31 appearances, 8 goals. Having said that, Sam, Alan Brazil at Spurs, which we both remember, 31 appearances, 9 goals.
Weird. So similar.
Exactly the same record.
What's interesting is that in that period, in the 80s, before Ferguson arrived, Manchester United what became a sort of a graveyard for strikers. So that whenever there was a top striker at a smaller club, United would go in and sign them for big money. And it became a cursed sort of position. Like the number 9 shirt for Manchester United was cursed. Gary Birtles, Peter Davenport.
Peter Davenport, yeah.
There was a few.
Sunderland.
Did Terry Gibson play for them at some point as well?
I guess so.
Probably.
Yeah, I think he did. Although, to be fair, that record of 83-84 was one season, I think, at Spurs. And then 84-86 was two seasons. I'm guessing he would have been injury-plagued.
Yeah, he might have been injury-plagued.
In the Manchester United era. But, yeah, that's Alan Brazil for you. And if you're listening, Alan, hope you
By the way, anyway, if you're listening... Oh, I heard two versions of that story.
Two versions. One dead, one alive. That's all that can be.
Brilliant.
Roy the Rovers, yeah. So anyway, front page. Roy Race, player-manager of Manchester Rovers, had proved that Carford City's brilliant midfield player, Carl Hunt, was not responsible for wrecking another player's career with a vicious foul. Now, as Rovers clashed with Carford in the final of the six-a-side tournament. And there we are. We've got Manchester versus Carford. The six-a-side tournament that's gone on for 6 weeks, I think, now. The fans are watching on behind the Perspex and saying, we'll soon find out if Carl Hunt is the player that everyone used to fear. Roy's putting him to the test. And it's Roy indeed with the ball at his feet, wearing the number 6 rather than the unfamiliar number 9, because, of course, six-a-side. You can't have a number 9 in six-a-side. Although you could, couldn't you, because you have subs.
Yeah.
We have rolling subs in six-a-side, so Roy could be the number 9, I guess. Let's not pull up David Skew and the makers of Roy the Rovers on that, though. It's not important. But what is important is that Roy has danced around Carl Hunt here with an incredibly self-satisfied grin on his face.
And he looks like he's sort of giving him a punch to the head as he runs past him as
almost,
well.
Almost, yeah.
Have that.
He does. But Roy would never do that, would he? Not on the pitch anyway. And Hunt's failed it. Another half-hearted tackle. And of course, Hunt gives us the familiar noise of failure, which is oomph. Oh, we need to do some oomph t-shirts. It's cropped up far too often now. Oomph.
Yeah, I'll make a note.
Yeah, continued. Mm. On colour pages inside. There's a little bit on the Roy Race talking that we might get to at the end, but it's not massively important, but just putting that there as a placeholder. Roy the Rovers continue from the cover, and Roy scores a goal after dancing past Carl Hunt. 1-0 to Melchester. Great shot, says what looks like a ball boy, perhaps, who stood there behind the goal on his own. The king doesn't miss chances like that. Oh, they're calling him the king again, Sam. Fucking hell. The City players complained bitterly, and one of them goes over to Carl Hunt. He's had enough. What's the matter with you, Carl? That piece of film proved that you didn't crock Les Anderson.
Really weird conversation to be having during a five-a-side match.
Let's don't forget that we got to see some slowed down video footage of the Les Anderson incident.
Yeah. On the big screen. In the previous, which Roy on the big fucking screen. This is, I would say, of all the weird storylines that I've read in Roy the Rose of the 80s, this is possibly the weirdest. This is so strange. Mm-hmm. This has been going on for weeks. And I know we've said it before, but Carl Hunt is someone who we were completely unaware of until this storyline started.
Not a person of interest
at all. And this is like something that you would make if you were like a mental health advocate or educator and you made a film that you wanted kids to in the 80s to understand. Like things like, I don't know, trauma or guilt and the impact of it. I mean, yeah. Very strange because it's a psycho-emotional investigation that Roy is carrying out via football into a random individual, and they've devoted a whole summer's worth of storyline to it.
Well, yeah. The Carford player says, "What's the matter with you, Carl? That piece of film proved." I was going to say, yeah, it's like social media a couple of years ago when everyone pivoted to video.
Mm.
Roy pivoted to video in 1984.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he was flashing a tape around earlier a few weeks
ago. Pivoting, Blackie. Ah, I don't like it when you do that. Is that.
I get confused.
No, not pivoting. You're thinking of something else. That's fingering. Pivoting is different. It's when you suddenly change up your system. But your system's worked so well in the past for all of us, right? I know, but you've got to keep things fresh. If not, you get copycats coming out. I've got to stay one stage ahead. So next season, I'm getting into...
Stay agile in the market.
I've got to stay agile. So I'm going to start getting video footage of my enemies and projecting it during the game and commentating on it. Why not? Why do you have to do it? To get inside their heads, Blackie. Don't do it to me, will you, right? No, but I need you to support me all the way.
Oh, I'll always do that, all right. Unquestioning.
I'll make videos of myself for you, all right, but you can watch them in your own spare time.
No, don't do that. No, you don't have the capabilities or technique.
Jalapeño.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
And this other player says to Colin, "Stop treating the opposition like cotton wool." Hunt's holding his head up, hand up to his forehead like...
As if saying, what the fuck does that mean?
An attack of the vapors or something. And Roy wades in. "It's no use, lads. It's so long since Carl made a full-blooded tackle, he's forgotten what it's like."
Whoa, fucking cheeky cunt.
Look at Carl's face. Carl's broken.
Listen,
Carl is demoralised.
I'm already on the fucking floor, right? You don't have to keep kicking. That's what Carl's saying. It's like, look what you have done to me. Look where I am as a man. Why would you continue... why would you carry on beating a man who's already dead, Roy? Because I fucking can. And because the ref is a mate of mine from the Rotary Club and will turn a fucking blind eye to pretty much anything I do.
Well, look at the ref. Even the ref interjects at this point. Roy!
Don't be a cunt!
I heard that remark, and I'm amazed that you, of all people, should be guilty of taunting another player. That must never have happened in football in the 1980s, taunting other players.
Did you hear that one, did you, James? Yeah, good, wasn't it?
He says, sorry, ref, I know it was a bit dodgy. And then in the next frame, we have the close-up of Roy's head, which
surrounded
always means
in
serious point is about to be made. He says, and it won't happen again. Believe me, I was just trying to motivate Carl, trying to bring a great player back to life. Bit like when you try to revive a bee. Those words of mine were just like a spoon with sugar and water on. And hopefully you start sucking on it.
You must have revived a bee before, a few bees in your time, ref. I do not know what you are talking about. Come on. What do you do if you see a bee struggling on your lawn?
Well,
when you're mowing it, I step on it, or sometimes I mow over it and watch tiny bits of bee fly out of the blades of my fly mow.
They're just insects, Roy. They're not to be considered. How very wrong you are, James.
Have you no knowledge of Buddhism? No, and I don't want any knowledge of it either, thank you very much. I'm an Anglican.
I saw a documentary about it on, I think it was the South Bank show once, and I didn't care for it.
Unnatural. Next question.
I refuse to go to a church that is led by a bald man.
In a dress.
Anyway, onwards. As Carford hit back, fucking Roy, you'd better sign Carl Hunt at the end of all this.
If not, we've fucking around. Wasted our time. Big star.
I don't know what the point of this is if he doesn't. As Carford hit back, now, Carl, come on, show us the real Carl Hunt. Brush those defenders aside. As Hunt attempts to stride forward with the ball at his feet, but it says, Hunt's holding off, looking for someone to pass to. He'll be caught in possession. By Roy! Oh, my God, look at that, top of the third page. Roy has clattered him.
Hunt. What? This is a great picture.
Isn't it? This is like something out of Commando comic. Or
yeah,
fucking
it looks more like a war comic.
Like
he's jumped
it's
in
just
knee,
violence.
Knee first, and he's sort of kneeling in the... You know when you get punched or kneed in the... underneath your ribs, upwards. He's sort of kneed...
winded.
He's you know what he's going for here? The diaphragm, which is a horrible assault. You shouldn't assault a man's diaphragm.
It's below the belt, but kind of isn't.
Yeah.
Technically, it's above the belt, but just...
have that right in the fucking diaphragm.
Hunt goes, ooh!
That's one of his signature moves.
What a tackle, shouts a fan. Roy helps him up. Gets him by the hand, helps him up. Well, Carl, you couldn't wish for tougher contact than that. And we're still in one piece, aren't we? God, what the fuck?
Just leave me alone, Roy. Please, just leave me alone.
Yeah, I'm going to retire. I've decided. I'm going to open a news agency. It's not worth a hassle. Early start, but who cares? I guess so, he says. But Roy's efforts were in vain. Hunt gives the ball away. Terrible pass. Hunt's giving it away to Neville Jones, who immediately puts the ball wrong side of the keeper. 2-0 to Melchester. It was a gift. Young Nev took it well, though. At half-time, we've got Carford fans walking out in all of their Carford City finery, hats, scarves, etc. I'm going. Well, they don't talk like that, do they? They all talk the same. Sorry. I'm going. I can't watch Hunt's antics any longer. The voice doesn't match the faces when you see their faces.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. Yeah. He's pathetic. Carford ought to pull him off.
Imagine walking out of a game, like, because of the performance of one individual player on your team.
Yeah.
That's astounding. I mean, I felt like walking out when West Ham have just been playing shit. And to be honest, I probably have. You know, like, if we've gone 3-0 down and you just think there's no coming back, I got better things to do. Do you know what I mean? What am I sitting here for? Fuck this. But one individual player's performance, can you imagine that? I'm leaving in protest at one man.
But the thing is, why they keep picking him? He's having a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
He's had a mental breakdown.
He has. So anyway, Carford ought to pull him off. Put him out of his misery. Then, as the players left the arena, we see a man emerging on crutches with a chalk on his lower left leg. Hi, Carl. And Carl says, Les? Les Anderson.
Another t-shirt idea, just making a note of that. Les, question mark, Les Anderson.
Les Anderson. Carl Hunt found himself facing the player whose career he thought he had wrecked. This looks like Roy.
I am actually going to do that t-shirt.
Stronger jawline.
Yeah.
I hear you've been watching a video of the game in which I broke my leg. I hope it convinced you that you weren't to blame. Carl says, well, I over to page 4, continued later in this comic. Here it is. Les says, I've just seen it myself. And I realise now it was a complete accident.
He looks exactly like that, Roy. Sorry, you have to stop it. I mean, this is ridiculous from David Stew. He looks so much like Roy that you just wouldn't know it wasn't. His hair is slightly different.
It just looks like 1978 Roy.
Yeah, it's Roy with the one of the old haircuts. Yeah. Leaner, hungrier, more sinewy. Can you see, Blackie? He's just like a young me. I know. Look at his ass. It's like bullets would bounce off it. Shut up.
Stop looking at his ass.
Yours has started to sag ever so slightly, Roy, in recent years. Since the 80s
get
got underway.
And Les Anderson goes on to say, apart from that, I've just heard some good news at the hospital. The specialist thinks there's a faint chance that I might be back in action again after Christmas. Carl Hunt says, what? So what about a couple of goals to celebrate? A couple of Carl Hunt specials. this is backfiring. What are Blackie and Roy are looking on at this beautiful scene. Carl Hunt and Les Anderson are linking arms now as they walk off. Well, fancy old Les turning up like that. Quite a coincidence, eh, Roy? Fucking hell, Blackie. Amazing, says Roy. Or maybe... Oh, Blackie's fucking worked it out. Or maybe a little bear telephoned him and asked him to drop in to have a chat with Carl. Roy looks like he's whistling for something that's off in the distance.
He looks really... He looks a little bit like Marilyn Monroe. His eyes have gone like... He's gone doe-eyed and he's pouting.
Yeah.
He looks like he's Marilyn Monroe when she sings Happy Birthday, Mr. President.
Oh, yeah. Good observation. Blackie looks evil.
Yeah. When you do your face all pouty like that, it makes me do my evil face. All right. No, sorry, that was
only when I'm behind you and you can't see me.
I do it when he goes pouty. I secretly do my evil face behind his back. I don't know why, but I do. I've never let him see it though, because it'll make him dead cross. He's told me before he never wants to see me making evil expressions, only nice ones. He's quite strict about it.
I only want to see nice Blackie and not evil Blackie. We got that.
Blackie, get ready. I'm about to do my sexiest face. All right, don't do it. You better stand behind me in case you lose control of your facial features.
Oh, I can't say what's happening to me right now, Roy, but you wouldn't like it.
I can guess. The less said about it, the better. Don't worry. I can only hold this facial expression this sexy for 30 seconds anyway.
This moment will pass and we will move on.
It drains a lot of my energy, and very often I am unable to be this sexy again for at least a week.
As the players came out for the second half of the final, Carl Hunt's come out punching the air.
Just met Les Anderson, and he's let me off the hook. Let's fucking have it, cunts.
He might be back by Christmas.
And nothing was my fault. Let's get amongst it, cunts. Carl Hunt is back. Big style.
Let's get that fucking trophy.
The monkey is off my fucking back. There is no more dangerously excitable man than a man who has just had a huge worry, a huge weight lifted from his shoulders. I mean, speaking for myself, any time that a huge worry has suddenly been taken away, I become almost hysterical with excitement. And for 48 hours, I have dangerous levels of positive energy where anything's possible.
It's good they acknowledge that.
Have you ever watched that? Of course you have. You were one of the people who got me to watch it. Happy Valley, the series. I only watched it all this year when I had COVID. I think it's in series two, and there's a detective, and he is murdered in a fit of like fucking passion. He murdered his girlfriend. He's got a bit on the side. Right, played by a famous actress who's in Alan Partridge and Big Train and stuff like that. I can't remember her name, but she's a great actress. But he murders her sort of by mistake, and then the subplot in the whole series is he tries to make out that she's been the victim of a serial killer who's been operating. Right, so he tries to make her look like she's been the victim of a serial killer, thereby letting him off the hook for her murder. And there's just this great scene where the detectives have decided once and for all that she definitely was a victim of the serial killer. And all the way through the whole series, this detective has been the very definition of hangdog. This actor is like really like sad and stressed. And you can feel it's such a great performance because you can really, every time he's on camera, it almost makes you feel stressed because he's under so much immense pressure that he's going to be found out by his colleagues. And then it just cuts his scene where he's found out that she's definitely being marked off as a victim of a serial killer. And he's just walking down the corridor of the police station. Like, literally, like, it's like he's at a Calypso party. And he's whistling. And I just look at him and think, I've never accidentally killed someone. And I'll tell you if I had, Andy, on air. I don't care. I'll tell the listeners.
Yeah,
I tell my own thing.
Yeah, we've got that bond between us.
I've never killed someone, but it's such a great voice because I just saw that and laughed my head off because I was like, I've been like that before, where you think you're in trouble and then suddenly you're not, and you suddenly give it what can only be described as the full Teddy Sheringham arriving at Old Trafford. Do you know what I mean? Hey, hey! And that's what Cole Hunt's doing here, mate. He's fucking. Yeah. That's the biggest high a man can have. It's called an off-the-hook high.
He's shouting, all right, City, wake up. Let's get back in this game. And fans, hey, listen to the hunter. That sounds more like our old fire eater.
Yeah, I've never been called that before, but fine. If that's my nickname,
I'll take it.
I'm up for anything
Love it. As a pass soon found Vic Guthrie, soon after the kickoff. Vic Guthrie is the last one you want to be going in on. Looks like him too. Carl's going in as if he means it. Carl shouts, he's mine!
And Guthrie, you punts! Incoming from the fire eater!
He dismantles Vic Guthrie.
Have that, puts an elbow fucking, in as well. You fucking tart!
Puts an elbow in on him as well. Get in there. Ooh! Shouts Vic Guthrie. It took a lot to shake the Melchester super brat, it says. The tackle we've been waiting for, Carl Hunt, is back in business, which means that the Rovers are in trouble. Hunt's running off down the pitch with the ball at his feet, swinging his arms around. And then it says, Vic Guthrie's on the floor, just watching him run away. Next week, speech marks. It's your fault for bringing him back to life, Roy. That's not about a B either. That's about Carl Hunt. Marks out a 10 for that, Sam.
10.
10. Yeah, go on, I'll give it a 10 as well.
Bloody great. It. And we got two great T-shirt ideas. And Les. Les Anderson.
Neither of which we will follow through with because that's the way we roll.
Keep your eyes peeled. You might just see a Les Anderson T-shirt on Redbubble sometime soon, but probably not.
All right, we'll be back with more next time. Find out what happens with Carl Hunt and if Melchester do eventually sign him, because it seems futile if they're not going to do that. Well, there you go. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.